Psalm 42, if you would, please. Psalm 42. We started this last week, continue tonight, and then we will finish in a couple weeks. Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We emphasize the importance of our desires for God to be the major desire within our life. Now, today we begin with verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David was distraught. If you read the whole psalm, as we did last week, we saw that he was distraught. Not that he lost his senses to the point, however, he was distraught to the point that food was dismissed for a higher necessity. My tears have been my meat. In other words, what sustained him, what kept him going, was his tears, and more so the circumstances that prompted those tears. And when we think about this matter of his conditions taking away the longing for food, the necessity to eat, the desire to eat. when we think about that, it brought to mind what Jesus said when he was tempted in the wilderness. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There are some things more significant than food. In our land of abundance, we do not know what it means to go hungry. Now, I do not know every individual's life. I don't know what points in your life where what I'm saying may not be true of you. But in general, I know what I'm saying is true of you. We don't know what it means to be hungry. We go without a meal and say, man, I'm famished. Okay? And we may fast for a day, and at the end of the fast, well, we're glad it's over so we can eat. We are blessed when it comes to this matter of food. And David here says that his tears, the conditions that prompted his tears, which we know from reading and studying on the life of David, we know what they were. Saul was out to kill him. Absalom, his own son, was out to take over the throne, as well as other enemies that he had. But he came to a place in his life where he said, my tears have been my meat day and night. This was not just something that was temporary, but it went on and on in his life. David is also the one who said that God's decrees, according to Psalm 19, verse 10, are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. That's what the Word of God is. I would like to tell you that I know the experience David had. I would like to tell you I've had those times in my life when there was nothing more important in my life than reading and thinking of the Word of God. But I cannot say that. There are times when I delighted in the Word. There are times when I just enjoyed studying the Word of God. But to be able to say that I've experienced what David has, I cannot say that. Now, if you'll also look here in verse 3, He says, after the comma, first comma, he says, while they continually say unto me, who's they? His enemies. The people who were giving him a hard time. The people who were harassing him. The people who were trying to set him up for a fall. The people who were out to destroy him politically as well as spiritually. While they continually say unto me, and here's what they would say to David, here's what they would throw in his face, where is thy God? Where is your God? What's happened to the God, David, that you bragged about? What's happened to the God that you said worked so wonderfully for you? Where's he at now, David? You see, they saw David's life. They saw his agony. They saw his condition. Just like people see ours. And so they threw it in his face. Where is your God? What's happened to the God that you brag so much about? You thought yourself so happy in God. Well, David, where's he at now? It did sting. And you know, for this very happening, for the potential of this very thing happening, there are some Christians, I hope to think, not most, but for sure too many, that they just don't speak out about God. You see, I might falter, I might fail, I might not live the way I should sometime. And if I'm out talking about God, and then people see me living the way I am, and so I'm just not gonna speak up. I'm just gonna play it low keyed and stay in the shadows. Because if I try to be out there and promote Jesus and promote how great God is, and then I stumble and fall, people will make fun of me. And then they get real pious and they say, and that really wouldn't be good for God either. They don't care about God. They care about themselves. That's what David's going through here. These people who saw him, they said, where is your God? You talk to us so much about your God. Where's he at now? Oh, cutting indeed can be the tongue of the unsaved man. The one who's without faith in God. The unsaved man, the one without the grace of God in his or her life. But the old saying is that the truth hurts. And so you see, David had rightly bragged on God. He rightly had lifted up God and proclaimed him to the people. Now look what he's going through. How much of what he's going through could he have avoided by some of the decisions if he'd have made them differently? And so, Satan, that old serpent, the devil, he came to our blessed Savior with just such an accusation when Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. If you really are the Son of God. Or when he went to Eve, what did he say? Hath God said? And so where is thy God? Oh, the devil's insidious. When we start down a road, he knows the victories that are going to be ours for following Jesus. He knows the successes And that means defeats on his account. He knows all of that. And so he also knows, what is it out of mythology? Achilles' heel. He knows our weak point. And so he watches us as we walk down a road of success as a believer. And it's good to be successful as a believer. It's good to be happy in the Lord. It's good to praise the Lord. It's good to tell people about Jesus Christ and proclaim what he's done for us. But that old devil, he knows what's around the corner. And he knows not only where to strike, but he knows when to strike. Where is thy God? They asked David. Now verse 4 says, when I remember these things, where is thy God? And he says, when I remember these things, I remember these things that I used to say. I remember these things that the people are talking about. I'm envisioning that perhaps they were not only saying, where is thy God, but they were following it up perhaps with, where is thy God, the one who you said did thus and such for you, David?
That's right. Yep. You got that right, Pastor.
Okay. And so David says, when I remember these things. Now, what did he do here? He says, I pour out my soul in me. Now, I'm going to come back to that phrase, but you notice he goes on and he says, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with the multitude that kept holy day. Absalom was hot on his case. He was not able anymore to go into Jerusalem. He was not able anymore to go into the tabernacle and worship. He tells us here, I used to do that. I had gone with the multitude, with all the people. I said to Pat one time, you know, the only place I really like crowds is in church. Okay? Other than that, and even then, I like to be up front where I'm alone. You see, and David says here, I had gone with the multitude. He had gone to the tabernacle. He did sing. He did hear the musicians that he appointed, the sons of Korah. He did hear them sing the songs of praise. I went with them to the house of the God with a voice of joy and praise. But see, he didn't have a voice of joy and praise now. That isn't what he had now. Now he had the doldrums. Now he was down in the dumps. Now he was blue. And whatever else describes his downcast condition, that's where he's at now. And that's why the people who knew him but didn't agree with him, they're the ones who cast it in his face. So where is this great God? You went to church and sang. You went to church and taught. You went to church and served. Well, where's your God now? There's many a Christian who's had that sort of thing thrown at them. And so, but I'm going to go back to that phrase. When I remember these things, when he remembers whatever it was that caused the people to say what they did, and whatever it was that had him in such despair, he said, I pour out my soul in me. In preparing for this, I came across that the very essence of prayer is in the pouring out of the soul before God. Not just getting answers. Though we need answers. John R. Rice wrote a book called Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And there's things in that book that I wouldn't agree with. I'd have worded it differently. But in general, He had it, you know, prayer is asking from God and receiving. Ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened, okay? But it begins with pouring out our soul. Because there's many a time that we don't see the answer, but we are to still pour out our soul to God. That's what He wants. For the very inner being of us to be poured out, as it were, an oblation. You know, they would take the perfumes and they would pour them out. And He wants us to pour out our soul to Him. And what if He doesn't answer? Do we quit following? Do we stop serving? Do we turn away? Well, now you all know the answers. No, we are to be faithful. If our service of God, if our living for God is based upon only what He does for us, then we've missed the very point of what service is, what we do for Him. Now, I know these things preach a lot easier than they live. But that doesn't change the truth that we are to serve Him regardless of what He does for us and how He answers or doesn't answer our prayers. David remembered the fellowship of believers and he did long for it. We do too when we're happy. But if our problem lasts long enough, it eventually overtakes us and we don't even care if we get to church to have fellowship with others. Now, that isn't the way it should be. That's not what God wants. But you know the same as I do that that is what happens with too many people. They begin to say to themselves, "Where is my God?" Oh, I'd like to say as a pastor, I never heard people say, "I don't understand, Pastor. I've been very faithful. I've gone to church regularly and I taught Sunday school. I sang in the choir. I held an office. I cleaned the church and I cooked for meals and I did all of these things." Why isn't God working now for me? Such questions, I believe, reveals that such service was primarily for self and not just for the Lord. Now, yes, we all want to be appreciated. We all need to be encouraged. We all need that pat on the back. But when we don't get it, is God still important to us? He once enjoyed all the ordinances of the tabernacle and worship, and now he had none. And it grieved him because of it. David is indeed a good example for us. Over and over again, when you read the Psalms, what you read is where David gives his lament, gives his problem. And that lament or that problem, by the way you read what he's saying, would cause you to think he's going to cash it in. Now, because we know the end of the story, We don't even entertain that, seriously. But just from what you read, you begin to realize, this David, why? He's about ready to give it up. But then, either the next verse or sometimes the next part of that very verse in which he laments his problem, then he says, but then I remembered the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I remember what God did. And then he'll go on and he'll tell what it was he remembered. All right, listen, I'm human. And when things go hard, when things are difficult, I must remind myself of what I just told you, what David said. And I need to go, as it were, and look in the mirror. I've never done this literally, but some people I've heard of have done it. They've gone and they've looked in the mirror and they've said, has God failed you yet? Has God ever turned his back on you? Is God not the same great, strong God that he has always been? And I must remind myself, has God changed? Now, it's not so much, you know, and I hate to say this because I'm not superstitious, but the old devil, I fear him. And it's never been so much a problem for me. And that doesn't mean I'm happy to have troubles. When I see back there going through hardship, when I see back there having the struggles that she's had, and I pray to God, and I pray to God, and I've asked God, do you hear my prayers? I know you've not forsaken, but do you hear me? Now, the man in me says that. But the faith in me must remind myself, he has not forsaken, he has not abandoned. She heard a program, I think it was out of Pensacola Christian College, and the campus pastor was preaching on why God doesn't answer prayer. And she said to me, would you send for that CD? And I don't remember all of it, but, and then another one, Adrian Rogers, he's dead and in heaven, but people have kept his messages and his writings going in a ministry called Love Worth Finding. And in it, he talked about prayer and different things about praying, and how when we pray, so often it's to try to change the mind of God. Ooh. Boy, when I read that one. Yeah. And, you know, we often put it in that when we don't get the answers we'd like to get. Okay? And so we keep praying. Now, we're told to be persistent in prayer. Definitely. But the bottom line is we need to get our lives in line with God. And sometimes that means we need to wait on him, as David said, pouring out our soul on this matter. Listen, this whole thing of Christian living, it's not for sissies. This whole matter of Christian living is not this religious playing around. Oh, people love to quote from whichever Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and call upon the Lord, will deliver the nation. We as a people, as Christians, don't know one little iota of what it means to humble ourselves before God. And if we just had the desire to do that, And it's much more than just saying, yeah, that's what I want. I mean the inner being of us that would wrench out of us every ounce of whatever is needed. I remember these things. Well, we're going to stop now and go to prayer. We'll pick up at verse 5 next time I preach in prayer meeting.